gentlemen, today, how important are women to you? How important are women to God? How important are women? Let's take a look today at why God created women. We men sometimes wish we understood them better. They sometimes wish they understood us better. But today I'm not going to be talking about how God made men. That'll come as we get closer to Father's Day. But since tomorrow is Mother's Day and it is a national time of recognition, I think it is good and appropriate that we do the same as men. And so what I'd like to do is review again from the incredible Word of God how He made women, why He made women, how a man can better understand a woman. Is it possible or is it a mystery? Let's take a look at God's Word. Let's begin where we should, in the book of Genesis. We'll start there. Genesis chapter 1. We want to honor the women, especially mothers, but all women. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. This is where God said, "Let us make man," and many of you have heard this and are aware of it, that the Hebrew word there for man doesn't mean male, just male. It means mankind, human beings. Let us make mankind, humans, in our image. Showing that there's more than one in the Godhead, the God family. Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. We tend to think physically primarily when we think of likeness, but it means a lot more than that. It doesn't mean just looking physically like God, but even in heart, mind, attitude, spirit, creativity, many other qualities. And let them have dominion over the fish and the birds and the cattle and all the creeping things that creep on the earth. And then in verse 27, so God created man, mankind, and just to show you, the exact same Hebrew word is used in, I'll come back to Genesis 1 there, but in chapter 5 and verse 2, chapter 5 of Genesis verse 2, it says, "He created the male and female and blessed them and called them mankind. I mean, so there God called male and female mankind in the day that they were created. So back in verse 27, God created mankind, man and woman, both of them, in His own image. Now, I didn't understand this when God first called me. You know, it was more, a little more the concept, the man is more in the image of God, and the woman may be in His image, but not as much as the man. You know, that man looks more like God and acts more like God, of course. That's why he's the head and in charge of the marriage. And right, I didn't have it all right. And as we go through the scriptures, when we begin to really understand what God did and how He created, it helps you to have a greater respect and appreciation of why He created the woman. Let's just continue to read on. So He created them in the image of God. He created him, and again, in Hebrews, mankind, male and female, He created them. So we know those scriptures. But an important thing to grasp and to come to understand is that God created Adam and God created Eve, both of them in His image, both of them like Him. And what He apparently did, which certainly makes sense to me, I can't go to any scripture that said, you know, 50% of His qualities He gave to the man and 50% of the woman. I don't think you can prove that or anything like that. But I think it's very obvious and clear that when God created the man, He didn't create the man with every quality that is godly or like God. He gave man many, God did, gave the male, Adam, many of his godly qualities and characteristics. But he wasn't complete or total. He needed somebody else. And so when he created Eve, a beautiful woman, and God is beautiful. God is the most beautiful being, I'm sure, that exists in the universe. Someday we'll meet him and we'll see and we'll know. And God made the woman beautiful and intelligent and gave her many of his own godly qualities and characters. So a woman, let's say a good woman who's trying to live according to the ways of God and the laws of God, a good woman in the world today reflects many of God's own qualities, his mental characteristics, his emotional characteristics. There are just certain things, as we men know, that God gave to a woman that we just don't have. I think many of us know. I'll get into a little bit more of that later. And oh my, honey, I forgot. In the back of my little, the back end of my little case, I've got a couple of my new best books on the differences in men and women I wanted to mention to you a little bit later. I knew if I put them in the back pocket, I'd forget them, and I did. So, you know, with that, kind of with that understanding and that approach, men, that God didn't just create the man to be in his image and call him the head of the wife because he was the most intelligent, the most balanced, the most perfect, the most like God. That wasn't it at all. As we come to know and understand, it takes both the man and the woman influencing one another, learning from one another, growing together, and even if you're not married. This is why if a person is not married, male or female, it's so important to have friends of the opposite sex. Good friendships, good relationships, and a congregation can help provide that, because men desperately need to learn from the wife, as we'll see, from the woman. Now, women, of course, need to learn certain things from the man, but I'm not working on that end of it today. We're going to talk about honoring women and mothers. So let's go on down to verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. You know, so when God first made Adam and Eve, you know, I don't buy the thing that man, when God created Adam and Eve, he created a wretchedness and evil and rebellion and sin. That came along later. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them perfect. They weren't converted yet. They didn't have his Holy Spirit yet. I'm not saying that. But they were not evil. And they were not bad. They were good. Very good. It's just more had to come along in their lives. They needed God's Spirit to become converted. Notice chapter 2, verse 15 and 18. Verse 15, first of all. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And boy, a man needs help that way. I sure do, because it's really my wife who is the gardener. She loves plants and gardening. I'll cut the grass. I'll pull weeds. But if it weren't for Leanne, I wouldn't have a lot of flowers. Too much work. So Adam needed help. That says the Lord God commanded the man, about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Drop down in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Over the years, you grow to understand more what that means. That women who live alone live longer, generally, healthier and happier than men who are bachelors who live alone. Women are more social by nature, more relationship-oriented by nature. Like I say, women love gardening generally. I mean, there's some excellent men gardeners. I know that. I'm aware of all of that. But I also know, generally speaking, the way the majority of men are and the way the majority of women are. And God created the woman with certain qualities and characteristics and abilities and tendencies and qualities that the man just didn't have. He didn't give it to the man. He gave it to the woman. And so he didn't say it is not good for the woman to be alone. He said it's not good for the man to be alone. A man needs a woman's influence in his life. You know, the more isolated men become, the less contact they have with a woman, a mother, sisters, or other women. Frankly, and I don't mean it in a wrong way, the more odd and unbalanced they are. It's just that way, because God created us men to need the valuable influence of a woman in our lives. We just need it. And I think that's why God says, since it's not good for the man to be alone, I will make a helper. Hey, fellas, we need help. That's what God's saying here. We need help. I recognize that. I recognize that my ministry, my service, without Leanne and her influence in my life, you'd see a different person than you see now. I mean, I can't even begin to list her valuable contribution in my life. It's so much and so great, and her influence and what I've learned from her and what she's taught me and how she's influenced me. I've probably influenced her a little bit too, I hope. That's next time. And so I had to come to realize and recognize that, you know, I had a mother who loved me, and, you know, she taught me the best she knew how growing up, but and it was good. And I had sisters, and that was helpful to have sisters. But it's nothing like having, living with someone or having a close relationship with someone who really does begin to help you as a man to realize that you may not always have the discernment. You know, God has given you more that focus on your work, goal-oriented success, and just the way you think and operate and feel. So God says, I will make him, Adam, a helper comparable to him, like him, equal to him. I mean, you know, we've got the whole Bible there. We know that in life, doesn't matter who you work for, what structure, organization you're in, family, you've got to have organization, and somebody's got to be an experienced person who's boss, and people who work together to set goals. We all know organization is necessary if you're going to have order and accomplish anything. And so within the family, God established a structure and created the man to be stronger, usually, generally, physical, stronger, bigger. Generally, he could protect the woman and the children and the family and take care of them, be a hard worker, focused on his work and his job. And, you know, once, you know, man gets, and women can be that way too. I know they can, but a man can be incredibly focused on just what he's doing. But he created the woman comparable to the man, like the man, equal to the man mentally, intelligent-wise. Many women in IQ tests, and I think Leanne, actually, on our test that we took when we entered Ambassador College together, she scored higher than I did on some of those entry tests. And so women are as intelligent as men, as capable of men in many areas and in many ways. I think we all know that and understand that. But we're here today, men, to thank God for the women in our congregation. And if you're married, thank God for your wife. If you have children, thank God for your daughters. And I think women have, you know, they've studied, many of you have studied this subject, that, you know, being a helper to the man, and it doesn't mean just to one single man. Now, obviously, God created Eve there to be a helper directly to Adam, but when you look at the word helper, the Bible talks about in many, many places in the Psalms that God is, and it's the same word used, God is the greatest helper of all. David said, God is my helper, and over and over and over. God is our helper. A woman is a helper. Same word used for God is used for the woman as a helper. But God created a helper to be a helper to her husband, to her family, to her community, to the world. You know, you think of the nursing profession and probably so many fields It was women who God used, those qualities of the woman. They're nurturers, they're healers, they're helpers, they just think that way, feel that way. They're more sensitive generally, more nurturing. That tending instinct. There's even been a book written, and the research on the differences of a woman's chemicals and what makes her have this nurturing or tending instinct to take care of people and help them. So there are these awesome qualities that God designed in the woman. And so today we're here to focus on God's awesome and incredible creation, the woman, and an amazing and wonderful creation he brought into being. And here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And you know, a lot of people who don't believe the Bible means what it says don't believe this really happened. It's just a metaphor. But no, we believe, I believe, it means exactly what it says. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. He has that power. God's the creator of all the chemicals of the earth. And he can take those things and create anything he wants to. And God did with his great power. Created the woman, fashioned her and designed her and made her. And stop and think about it without getting into, we don't need to go into unnecessary details. But he designed the man and the woman inside out, every part of us, inside and out. God thought it through. I don't know if he had sketches or not, but he thought it through, planned it, designed us all perfectly, beautifully. Of course, Satan today, you know, he hates God's creation. He hates God's purposes in marriage. He hates that sexual union and what it pictures and depicts. And he's perverted so much of it and created so many problems for so many people. But thank God that'll be fixed someday. But here's where God created the woman from a man's rib. And Adam said in verse 23, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So woman means of man. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." And in the margin it says cling or cleave to his wife. The King James Version uses cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And again, that indicates, of course, physical and that sexual union, but it's more than that, that they begin to cling to each other emotionally and become dependent upon one another and supporting one another, and they become emotionally, mentally, spiritually, they grow together. And those differences that we have male and female that can be so irritating and frustrating, and they are there, and Leanne and I love one another deeply, but we still have little spats and disagreements and misunderstandings, and thankfully they don't last as long and don't get as bad as they used to. You know, we've grown, and when we turn to usually get over it real quick and then turn around and laugh about it because we realize that I'm just being male. I'm just being a man. You know, I wasn't listening. Honey, you weren't listening. Yeah, you're right, I wasn't. I heard her talking, but I wasn't listening. And so, you know, that's a process, this matter of cleaving and clinging to one another and beginning to, but it certainly takes two people who are both willing to learn and grow, you know, in relationships and situations. If one is converted and one really isn't converted, or one is really trying to grow spiritually and learn to have greater love and patience and learn to understand the male mind or the female mind, and the other really isn't willing to study, isn't willing to read books, isn't willing to listen to tapes, isn't willing to go to marriage seminars, isn't willing to learn and grow, it's not going to work. It takes two to cling together and to learn to grow together. That's why many marriages do fail. One maybe wants to move on and really grow and make major breakthroughs in their lives and achieve happiness, true happiness in their relationship and peace. So when they're together, they love one another. They're not perfect, but they have begun to achieve peace together and a happiness and a joy together. you know, recognizing, the man recognizes, well, you're like God. God created you. You're beautiful like God, and you're sensitive like God, and you're emotional and feeling like God more than I am as a man. You know, those qualities that a woman has. And you've all probably heard this little statement. God took a rib, not a head bone, to rule over him. And symbolically, it may be interesting why God took a rib. He didn't take a head bone from the man to create the woman to rule over him. He didn't take a foot bone to be trampled on by him. But he took a rib bone to be by his side, right there by his side. And he took it from under his arm to be protected by him. And beside his heart to be loved by him. So it's symbolic. God took a rib. Could have taken any bone of the body and created the woman, but he took a rib. And so the woman is very special, very beautiful, very wonderful, very unique, very much like God. And we men cannot become like God without God's help. I mean, God can work miracles. You know, people could say, well, what if a man just didn't have that opportunity to be exposed to women? Well, you know, God could help him to begin to see and understand these things and pray about it and I suppose make growth in some areas of his life if he didn't have a woman's influence. But I think most people on earth have that contact to women and can learn from women and study about women and why God created them the way that he did. Women are special, and God has used them in many special ways. Now, the two books that I wanted to mention to you before I forget, there are many wonderful good books out there. There are so many today, it's incredible. Two of the most current ones with the most right up-to-date research on how God created the man and the woman and why we are different. Why we think differently, feel differently, the chemicals within our very brains and bodies and how it works. One of them is, and I've recommended it to a few before, it's called His Brain, Her Brain. Incredible information that is just awesome. It's by a doctor, Walt Larimore, and his wife, Barb Larimore. He's an MD, and they're Christians, and work together. And incredible knowledge and understanding and research that you just go, wow, no wonder. It's a good book. There's some excellent information. And another one that I've used, it is pretty up to date. For those, you know, who are really interested, I want to understand women better, or my wife better, or vice versa. It's for couples only. This one is for men only. One book in here, two set of two books, one for men, one for women. For men only, and the other one is for women only. It's by a husband and wife who graduated from Harvard University and are nationally known speakers and authors in this area. The Christians have dedicated their lives to studying this subject of men and women. And it's for couples only by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn, F-E-L-D-H-A-H-N. And those are available. But again, I mean, any couple can give one. Okay, you read this and you'll see why your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, why they think and feel and act the way they do. And they show it, and it's very helpful. These are the things that began to, Leanne and me, turn our relationship around years ago. It wasn't these books, but there were a few others that began to come along, especially me. I will have to say, fellas, most women that I know, I'll say most, I don't know if it's all, but most women seem to want to work toward having a closer, more intimate, happy marriage and relationship. And most women reach out in those ways, and many men do not. At least I didn't. I was more shut down emotionally in my life. I was more of a loner. I remember Leanne would ask me, well, honey, how do you feel about such and such or so and so? I'd start telling her how I think about something. And she said, I didn't ask you how you think about that. I asked you, how do you feel about this or that? And I have to stop and think. And I'd say, I don't think I have any feelings about it. Right, Joe? Yeah, right. And it's hard for a woman to understand that. A guy just said, I don't have any feelings about it, you know? But I learned to have a few feelings, more feelings, learning and growing. I learned a lot of things from being married to a woman who is like God. And if you have a woman, especially, who is trying to be a godly woman, even more so, it can be a tremendous help in your life. And so men, you know, boy, where would we be without women, godly women especially? We'd be in trouble. We wouldn't have that help that God says we need so desperately. You know, Jesus was perfect, but let's look at the women, some of the women in his life. Luke chapter 8. Christ was the perfect man, you could say, and had probably all of those qualities because he was God in the flesh. And yet it's interesting to note that just a few verses here in Luke 8, verses 1 through 3, now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, the 12 men. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and, notice, and it ends, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, so here's a pretty important woman, and, it adds, Susanna, and many others provided for him from their substance. And so he also had women who traveled with him and supported him and prayed for him. And women know how to help take care of a man better. And you know, you can imagine the disciples, "Lily, just go over here, Jesus." You know, these are the fishermen, tax collectors, et cetera, and all. But there were women, you know, in the life of Jesus Christ, and part of his disciples and his followers and his supporters who helped him. They were included, and there's no way even to get started. But let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Leah and I happen to be reading and studying in the book of Acts right now for our personal Bible study. So Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, the beginning of the New Testament church. This is before Pentecost, before the giving of the Spirit. But here are the disciples gathered up in the room where they were staying. Christ said, you know, stay in Jerusalem, and you'll receive the promise of the Spirit. In verse 13, it says they were in the upper room where they were staying. And then verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so the women were right there at the very beginning with the disciples, a part of the 120, part of that number, very much a part of the church and the work of the church and the men's lives from the very beginning. I mean, you could go on and on through the Bible, and you can see that, how God used women, how important they were in God's plan and God's purpose and in God's church and in God's work. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Just a few verses here to point out again how God's servants in the Bible honored women and thanked God for them and the incredible help they must have been to them. Romans 16, verses 1 through 3. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, one of the congregations near Corinth. And so, you know, he mentions this particular woman, and women contribute to our congregation, don't they, men? Can you imagine, men, just imagine this, if every woman got up right now and they walked out, every woman, took all the little girls and they all left, what would it be like in here, guys? I mean, we would look at each other, and we'd like each other, and we'd be happy, but there would be something lacking and missing, wouldn't there? If Leanne walked out and left, she, you know, when I'm back there in Cincinnati without her, I'm kind of lonely. There are lots of people, but it's not her. We would miss them dearly and deeply. And we would need help. We wouldn't be We wouldn't be a balanced congregation if we were all just men. We just wouldn't be as happy. We wouldn't be as godly or normal. I know I wouldn't if I were alone without her influence. And he goes on in verse 2 and says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Now, God has used women in many mighty ways like that. He's praising her and saying, look, she's a servant and a leader in the congregation. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. And there's that helper. But those gifts God has given to women. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. And here her name is mentioned first. She was a strong wife, a strong woman, a strong leader. Priscilla was. And he called them my fellow workers in Christ Jesus who risked their own necks for my life. And so wonderful examples of women given in Scripture. Verse 6, greet Mary who labored much for us. That was a common name then, Mary. But it's talking about women who were with the disciples and Paul and them and labored and worked and helped and contributed so much. And notice verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, probably sisters, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord, another woman there. So, you know, just an example again to remind us all that women were a dynamic part of God's church and God's work and the life of Christ and Paul and the disciples wherever possible, and made a huge difference. Where would we be without them? I'd like to close my sermon in this message by let's go to the scriptures that show men that women have the same potential in the family of God and the kingdom of God as we men do. And the same promises are given to the women. That now in this life, God has spelled out our role as men in the family, in the marriage, and responsibilities like ministers and ordination. You know, we in the Church of God believe that looking at the priesthood in the Old Testament and the examples in the New Testament, that God didn't call women to be the ordained ministers or pastors of congregations. It was men. But there were deaconesses, and there were many other women and many other responsibilities in many areas that the women fulfilled. That's in this life. But when we look beyond this life and when we are changed from flesh, male or female, to spirit, you know what the Word of God says, that there's neither male nor female once we're changed. Hopefully, we men, when we're changed, and my understanding is that when I'm changed into a spirit being, I'll be just like Christ. I'll be perfect. And Leanne will be changed into a spirit being and be like God, like Jesus Christ. And she'll be perfect. I've helped her learn and grow. And she's helped me learn and grow. And finally, we'll both become like God and be perfect. I hope. My hope and dream that our love and relationship, though, like Christ and God the Father, who have tremendous love and closeness together, that Leanne and I will be like that in the kingdom. We'll have to wait and see. I hope that. And you've all heard me say this before, but Leanne has, I couldn't have asked for a better help in my life than she has been. And all that she's contributed to my life in so many different ways, and has assisted me and always been the one that sits and lets me do the speaking. It's my calling and the ministry. But a lot of what you hear coming out of me is her and our talks and our prayers and our discussions and lessons I've learned from her. I share that. It comes out of me. So I sincerely mean this, and I've told her that, honey, you've been a wonderful help to me, and it's been a pleasure to be your husband and your head. And when we're changed and enter God's family and God's kingdom and become God's spirit being, and we stand before Jesus Christ, which we will, and he gives us our responsibilities in his kingdom and our duties and the job that he wants us to do in the world tomorrow and the kingdom, if he says, you know, Denny, Leanne did a great job being your helper in the world. And now that you're in the kingdom, I would like you to assist her and help her and work for her and with her. And you know what I'm going to say? Yes, Lord. And Leanne, yes, my darling. Or maybe, will I call her darling? I don't know. Honey, sweetheart, beloved, I don't know. We'll find out those things when we enter there. But let's just finish this sermon, man, and, you know, in thinking about your wife and her potential in the kingdom of God, let's just see what God's word tells us and how precious women are to God and how special. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. God has an amazing plan and purpose. This is a scripture that, you know, where Peter's talking about a wife being submissive to her own husband. So we know all about that. We've talked about that. And we'll pick it up in verse 7. And it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, that is, you know, with the wife and with women, with understanding. This is the New King James. The Old King James says, dwell with them with knowledge. New King James says, with understanding. They're both important, knowledge and understanding. And there's just incredible knowledge and understanding available today on the differences between men and women. We can have the right knowledge and we can have the right understanding. And God, through Peter, says, giving honor to the wife. That means to, the Greek word temen or temen means to value, to esteem, to respect, to highly value her, the wife, as to the weaker vessel. And that doesn't mean, again, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, it just means physically. I can still take Leanne in a wrestling match. Yeah. Sometimes I give in real easy, though, and surrender. I like her to win sometimes. And being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers not be hindered. You think about that, being heirs together of eternal life. It's what we are. And so men who do not respect women, who abuse women, who hate women, who have anger toward women, maybe because of bad experiences in their life, I don't know. They've got a lot of learning, changing, growing, repenting to do. And forgiveness and recognizing the incredible qualities of a woman that God has given them. Romans chapter 8. And I will be done here in just a few minutes. Romans chapter 8. Verses 16 and 17. And it says here, the Spirit himself, or itself, bears witness with our spirit, God's spirit. You know, witnesses, works on our spirit, influences our spirit. And lets us know and understand that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And so this is obviously talking about men and women, God's children. And again, it's saying we are joint heirs, man and woman, male and female, are joint heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God. Bible makes it plain over and over. And we know Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. So I certainly keep this in mind whenever I pray for Leanne and she prays for me. And when we're working together and everything that we're doing, you know, I keep in mind, you know, God's, what I can learn from her and what she can learn from me. And treat her with love and respect. Most of the time, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm human, and you know, you know that we're just like you. We can tick one another off a little bit sometimes, and when we react wrongly or speak wrongly to one another, but like I say, it doesn't last long anymore, and we get over it quick and move on and learn from it and say, well, someday we'll be perfect. But here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, you know this one well, speaking to men and women. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they, men and women, shall be priests of God and of Christ and will rule with him 1,000 years. That's when he returns and comes back. Same promise to men and women. Makes me think. And I've told Leanne, you know, I said, honey, I think you've grown more than I have since God has called us. And I've watched her in her prayer life, her relationship with God and all, and I feel that way. I think she's grown in her depth of understanding of God's word and God's way of life and the things that she does. And, you know, she's always writing cards and calling people. And I don't do that as much. I'm just not a card writer, but she does it all for us. She'll send out Mother's Day cards to my sisters for me and say from Denny and Leanne, you know, and things like that. So women, you're going to be teachers in the kingdom of God. You're going to be priests, ministers of God in God's coming kingdom. That's what the Bible says. I could go on and on, but I want to close so we can have our potluck and our fellowship together. So I'll close right there, but there are many other scriptures like this. And my main point, men, today is, since it's Mother's Day tomorrow, let's just express to our ladies and to all women and to mothers that we do understand how special women are, that you're created in God's image in so many ways, and how much we value you, how much we love you, how much we need you, how much we respect you, and certainly, as I've expressed to Leanne, I don't know how you other men feel toward women or your wives or anyone, but if when I stand before Christ, he says, Denny, I'm putting Leanne in charge of this city over here, these cities or that country or whatever, I want you to travel with her over there. Or if you men, if you're not sure who that would be, maybe it's another woman, another spirit being in God's family who was a woman in this life, but now she's like Jesus Christ, neither male nor female, but like Christ, like God, more perfect in all of those ways. Are you willing to submit yourself and humble yourself and show that attitude of love and respect right now for women, to fulfill our role as husbands and fathers and heads of our families and leaders in the church the way that we should, you know, with that kind of humility and that kind of attitude of love and respect for women? So, our ladies, we just want you to know that we do love and honor you. And so we're going to end the message with a song. And guess who picked the song out? Not me. My beloved wife, Leanne. It's a song that was sung and written by members of the United Church of God, the Myers brothers. Two of the Myers brothers are pastors of congregations. They were at the GCE. They're musical, and they wrote this song and they sing it. It's called Midnight Oil, and this is a song about a mother's love and devotion in prayer, and that legacy, her legacy of love, devotion, and prayer being passed on. So think of all the love and the devotion and the prayers of the church and the mothers and the women in our congregation, and the women that you know, as you listen to this beautiful song, Midnight Oil.